Good. Okay. Right. Good evening. So now it is Nitzavim is the Sedra of the week. And here we're looking at this text from Nitzavim. In fact, it's Nitzavim Vayelech. It's two parashiyot together. This Sedra Nitzavim is always read before Rosh Hashanah, and as this year it's Nitzavim and Vayelech together, and we're going to be studying a discourse that was said in 1965, and Rabbi Lou may have been there. Were you there?
I was already, thank God, with God's help, in England from August, from a month before then.
Right, okay.
That's when we moved here.
Right,
One way ticket.
okay. Right, okay. So let's look at this text, the opening verse, the opening verses. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. You are standing today, all of you. Each of these words, nitzavim, standing, it's going to be discussed. The word hayom, today, all of you. Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, before the Lord your God. And then it starts going through a list of categories of people who are standing there. Rosheichem, your heads. Shivteichem, the heads of your tribes. Ziknechem, your elders. Veshotcheichem, your officials. Kol Ish Yisrael, they translate it here, every householder in Israel. Tapchem, your children. Nesheichem, your wives or women. Vegecha asher bekeret machanecha, the proselyte in the midst of your camp. Mechotev etzecha, the hewers of wood. Ad shoev memecha, and the drawers of water. They're all there. The ovracha bivrit, to make you, the whole Jewish people, pass in a covenant of Hashem Elokecha, of the Lord your God, ve'alato, with the sort of the sanctions, they translated quite nicely put, Asher Hashem Elokecha, which the Lord your God koret imcha hayom, is making with you. God is making this covenant with you today. And it goes on to say, Leman hakimot hayom lo, in order to set you up today for him, for God, la'am, as a people. Behu yiyeh lecha, and he will be for you as God. Ka'asher dibelach, as he spoke to you. Ve'cha'asher nishba lavotecha, as he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Yaakov, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it goes on to say that I'm not only making this covenant with you, but with all who are here and those who are not here, all who are going to be in the future, with the entire future, Jewish people of the future. So that is that's the verse, that first verse. That is the verse with which the discourse opens. And so I'm going to try and find the discourse. And meanwhile, we will try to sing the Maimonides. Rabbi Lou, do you want to help with the Maimonides?
I can help. It's very hard to sing more than together over Zoom. It
Okay.
doesn't coordinate, so it makes you worse, not better. But of course, looking in my own way.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Right, so here we have the discourse. I hope everyone's able to see it. Atem, and it's a discourse of 1965. It has not been checked, edited by the Rebbe. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. You are standing today, all of you. Umavar Rabbeinu Azaken, and the Alter Rebbe, that means Rabbi Shneur Zalman, explains. He's the founder of Chabad, lived around 1800. He explains in his book, Likutei Torah, Dibur HaMatchil HaZeh, which begins with these words, Shepar Shazu Korin Olam, this Sedra is always read in the synagogues around the world, is always read Kodem Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, before the New Year. Umarumaz b'milat hayom, and there's a hint to that with the word hayom, because the word hayom, today, is a kind of a code word meaning Rosh Hashanah. The Kai al Rosh Hashanah, which a number of times in Tanakh is understood in the Bible, that means when it says hayom, it's talking about Rosh Hashanah. Key, because this day, this is part of the liturgy on Rosh Hashanah, this day is the beginning of your works, the Zikaron leYom Rishon, a memory of the first day of creation. And so this Hayom, this word Hayom, which means the day and also today, so that relates to this, they like join together. The idea that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the creation of Adam and all the sparks of the souls that come from him. Shekol nitzutzei neshamot, that all the sparks of the different souls, nitzavim, they are standing, Umit alim, and they ascend bim koram to their roots, harishon, their original root, ad lifnei Hashem, till they are standing right before God. Ukufishim amshich v'katuv, as the verse continues, roshechem shifteichem, the leaders of your tribes, begome, etc. And then it says, mechotev etzecho v'ad shoev memecho, from the hewer of your wood to the drawer of your water. And in this list of categories, Peret HaKatuv Esem Madregot, the verse defines 10 different levels. Ki Kol Yisrael, because the whole Jewish people, Heim Koma Achat Shlema, are one unity, one form, like a kind of anthropomorphic form, Shenechleket le'esem madrigot, which is divided in 10 different levels. Rosh Hashanah, when it's Rosh Hashanah, the new year, mit'alot kol ha'madrigot, all these different levels ascend. Afinu mechotev etzecha ad shoev memecha, even the hewer of wood and the drawer of water, now in ordinary economic terms, they are like the poorest members of the community in terms of the list that's been given over here. And so, Shehein Bechinod Umadregot HaTachtonot, they are the lowest level in this list of ranks. Of course, the hewer of wood might be a great rabbi in practical terms. There were people in the time of the Talmud who chopped wood. I think Hillel would make a living chopping wood. But here it has a further connotation. which helps us understand something very important about this idea of the unity of the Jewish people. And that comes up over here, ulahaiya, and just to comment, gam midevrei, from the words of the previous Rebbe, chod tushat mori b'chami, admor, that's the previous Rebbe, the father-in-law of the our Rebbe who is teaching this discourse in 1965. Odot perush Rabbeinu Azaken, to mention the comment of Rabbi Shneur Zalman on these words, the hewers of wood and drawer of water. When it says the hewer of wood, the word wood, eitz, humilishon eitza, relates to the word counsel, eitza, sort of idea. Shetzarich, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman said, these words are hinting to us, Shetzarich la'akor, we have to oishaken, we have to chop away et rabot hamachshavot b'levish, the many disturbing and inappropriate thoughts that are there in the heart of a person. These are the eitzot, the bits of advice, false advice, from the yetzer hara, from the evil desire. And so most people are assailed by such negative thoughts at one time or another, sometimes more common, sometimes less common. And if we are assailed by them, we have to get rid of them. And that's not always an easy process. Process of therapy, for example, often the person is complaining about very, very troubling thoughts, which they're not able to control. And people who don't go to therapy also very often have inappropriate thoughts, which need controlling and aren't necessarily so easy to control. V'shoev meimecha, and drawing of water, shetzarich lishov, oishep, and we have to pour away et hamayim, the water. Now here water is a symbol for something else. The shematzmichim kol minei ta'anug. Water makes all kinds of pleasant, beautiful things grow. And in terms of the soul, the elements, the four elements in the soul, earth, fire, wind, and water. Water represents the power of desire. And so a person might have inappropriate desires, and not just inappropriate ideas, but inappropriate desires. And we have to be able to pour away that desire as well. And if you include this comment on those words of the hewer of wood and drawer of water, it emphasizes even more Pritut ha-madrega, that these two levels are very low. This hewer of wood and draw of water, they're not something that just simply they happen to have a very simple, apparently simple job. It also is suggesting the person who has the task to throw out these negative thoughts and pour out these negative desires, but hasn't yet managed to do so. And even so, that person is still part of the entire structure of all the Jewish people in all their different levels. So there are very exalted levels, tzaddikim, very righteous people, and there are also people who are struggling or maybe have even given into the struggle. They are not struggling, and that is a problem, and they're being controlled by these negative bits of counsel from the evil desire and negative desires, but they are still part of the Jewish people. And the discourse that we're discussing here, the Rebbe is discussing a discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. And that discourse continues. Even though there are those different levels, nonetheless, They are all standing today, all of you. Liyot la'achadim ke'echod. They are unified together. Ki zehu klal gadol, because this is a great principle. B'chol da'ati misitra de kedusha, everything which comes from the realm of holiness, hu bifchinat na'ut sofan betchilatan, is something that is described by the sages in the book of creation, that the end is joined in the beginning. The end is joined in the beginning, mibli ashen imtza ha'adam rosh v'sof. And you can't work out where is the beginning and where is the end. Everything is joined together. So that means in the realm of holiness, everything is joined together. In the realm of non-holiness, everything is divided, this divided branches. And so that means that since we are trying to talk here about the realm of holiness, and there are these different levels, and some of the levels are very low, but nonetheless, they are all unified together. And that means, v'hainu, that means, sheyesh b'chol echad v'echad, there is in each individual, b'chinot u'madregot, aspects and levels, ma she'ein b'chavero, which his friend, his colleague, does not have, b'cholam tzrichim ze laze, and they all need each other. Now, having said that the hewers of wood and the drawers of water are suggesting a kind of negative position, it's interesting to reflect on the fact, not mentioned here in this discourse, that one of the great Hasidic teachers, Rabbi Zusya, he said, there are things that you can learn from a thief. So it's not good to be a thief. To be a thief is against the Torah. And even so, there are things that we can learn from a thief. Here it gives a different image of the head and the feet. The head is obviously superior to the feet, and in literal terms and in terms of its quality, because the head is with the brain, with the ideas, and so on. All the feet can do is walk around. But sha'av shereglayim heim, so mashal ha'adam shu bal koma, a person standing up b'rosh v'raglayim, with the head and his feet. Sha'av shereglayim heim sofa madrega lamata, even though the feet are the end of the lowest level below of an individual, b'harosh hu elyon, and the head is on top, and is more sophisticated than the feet. The brain cells are much more complex than the cells and functioning of the feet. Mikol makom, nonetheless, hare b'vchina achat, in a certain sense, yesh yitchod v'ha'ala haglayim, the feet have a significance that the head cannot have. Why? Well, in very simple terms, shetzarich lalech b'hem. If you want to walk around, you need feet. The brain by itself, it could be Einstein's brain, could be a brilliant brain. But if it doesn't have feet, it's not going to be able to move anywhere. So the head needs the feet. The gum, and also, a person might have a headache or a serious problem in their head. So then it could be, you would say in modern terms, you put an injection in the feet. Literally, this means they let blood, which of course we don't do today. But if we would imagine in terms of an injection, so a person might get an injection in their feet or in their leg, and through that, the pain in their head, the near part is healed. The yesh lomar, one could add, that the fact that when a person has something wrong with their head, you can give an injection in the feet and then it gets healed, you see how important is the unity between the head and the feet. שגם הראש צריך לרגל. The head requires the feet. באופן פנימי יותר, and you can see this in a more inward way, מאשר האחדות שמתבטאת, than the unity which is expressed בעניין ההליכה, by the fact that the person walks, and in that way, the head, with the eyes, let's say, gets to go to a different place, and is able to see and think about something different. שהראש צריך לרגליים בכדי להלך בהם, that the head needs the feet in order to move around, שהוא רק עניין חיצוני, that's only an external thing. But if you consider that the injection in the leg has a good effect on the head, and possibly the brain, the mind, what the person is thinking, so you see a more inward interconnection. So if we take that out of the moshel, out of the parable, into the reality that he's talking about, all different people in the Jewish people, we are all connected together, even though people are on different levels and are doing different things, and one is a scholar and the other is a dustman, whatever it might be. But nonetheless, we all have a connection, or should have a connection with each other, and each person needs the other. Okay, so we've read a little bit. Now, are there any questions or comments? Rabbi Lou, would you like to comment in any way?
Not yet. You're doing this very good at this stage. I have a beautiful idea about the it's the contrast between the unity that each one is incomplete without the other. Even the head can do nothing without the whole, even Einstein's head, as you said. At the same time, the Torah does not just say you're all together, you're all one. It enumerates the different categories to say that that unity has to express, it could be in the Maamar, that unity has to express itself within your own individual input. You are important. You're not just as good as. You're necessary to be, that foot is not just, you know, it's there already, so it's equal. The emphasis on what you are and using that particular ability and that particular faculty for whatever the unity represents is necessary.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a very important point. The Maamar doesn't actually discuss that. But that's a very profound point.
Whoever speaks about it at length a few years later, in 1971, when all the Jews came out of Russia, a lot of people came. He spoke then about Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, also about the unity of all the four kinds, but they have to be four kinds. Everyone is important.
Right. That's a lovely piece. Thank you for adding that. Is there any comment from anyone else? Okay, so let's go back to the discourse. Right. So here we are, line 17 of the second page. Umamshich levaya, and then the discourse goes on to explain. I'm just trying to get this spotlight again. The discourse goes on to explain. Shazel derech klal, that's in general. Ach der, this unity in general. Ach derech prat, but in detail. Eichu derech hayichud, how does this unity come about of all these different kinds of person? How is this unity achieved? Be'e hakatuv hakach, and this is explained by what the verse says after this, which we read together. Le'ovrach habivrit, that you are all standing here together in order to pass through the covenant. In other words, to undertake or be included in the covenant. And what this means is, let's imagine two people who care about each other very much. They love each other. Shekortim brit beinehem. They make a covenant together. Shelotzi pasek avatam. That their love will not cease. They make a pact. And this pact is something which they are hoping will keep them bonded together, even at some time when they have less to do with each other, or they are, for one reason or another, they are less friendly to each other. But nonetheless, because there's the pact, they feel a bond together, and that bond is something that they want to unify them forever. Baal Timot Olam Ba'ed, through that pact, they want to be unified and they want their love to continue undisturbed forever, even if there are factors which might seem to pull them apart. The reason is Lefi Shabar Bivrit Vit Kashrut, because they came, entered into this pact, into this bond, Ki'ilu Na'asu Levasa Echad, as if they became together one flesh. Of course, one thinks about marriage in this context, that a husband and wife, in a sense, they are making a pact together when they get married, that they're going to be unified together. This term, Vahayu, that they should become one flesh, is a term the Torah uses about Adam and Eve, man and woman, that they become one. And so the pact of marriage is a pact with a bond where it is hoped that the love lasts eternally. And similarly with close friends might have some kind of pact together, joining them together. Or kumo shelo yuchal lipsok avato al atzmo. Just as a person's love of oneself never stops, of course, barring depressive states where people are terribly critical of themselves and very angry with themselves. But if we talk about, you know, more normal frames of mind where they love themselves to a certain extent, and that love, and certainly they try to save their own life, they're trying to live in a healthy way, so they care about themselves. Kach lo yifsok me'al chaveru. Similarly, their love should not cease from their friend with whom they have this pact. It might be a pact, so to speak, in a community, and in a sense, it is the pact of the entire Jewish people, that the entire Jewish people are joined together in a kind of pact, which ideally makes us all care about everyone else, even though we may not seemingly be very connected with that person. You know, they may like baseball and you like rugby, you know, so how can you communicate together? But nonetheless, there's a pact joining everyone together. And that's why it's called cutting the pact. You see, there's a strange term. Making a pact is not la'asot brit, to make a pact, but chitat brit. And the real meaning of the word chita is cutting. K'moshe katuv, and this relates to a rather strange concept that we find a few times in the Tanakh, in the Bible. Ashe kachtu et ha'egel v'yavhu ben b'tarab. The way in which a pact would be made in the time of Abraham, and sometimes later times as well, they would take an animal like a calf, they would slaughter it, cut it in half, and then the two people who were making the pact would walk in between the two halves. Of course, now, you know, people would be very unlikely to do such a thing, to express the pact in this way, which involves the killing of the animal. But that seems to be the way the Bible describes it. And it's an expression of a bonding between those two people. Koloma, as if to say, it's as if the two people are passing through one body. So there's the animal, the calf, which has been slaughtered, and now it's cut in half. So one side is one half, the other side is the other half. And now you and I, we walk together through those halves, and that makes a pact between us. Liyot alachadim, that we should be as one. Ukhola mashal hazeh, and following this kind of image, asalanu Hashem elakenu, the Lord our God did for us, dichtiv, as it's written in the Torah, hine anochi koret brit, behold, I, God, am cutting a covenant with you. Now, in which way, where do we see this special force of a covenant joining us all together in this way? And here he gives the answer. Ki al yedei yud gimel midot harachamim, through the 13 attributes of mercy, shehimshich Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, which Moses, our teacher, peace on him, he drew down these 13 principles, these 13 attributes of mercy. There was a very special moment in the Torah where Moses is on Mount Sinai speaking to God, and he says to God, please show me your glory. And God said, man cannot see me and live, but you will see something. And what he does, God reveals to him the 13 attributes of mercy, which are sometimes sung in the synagogue. Hashem, Hashem, Keil Rachum B'chanun, Erech Apayim B'rav Chesed Emet. So that is the Ashkenazi tune for those 13 attributes. It's very much a part of the liturgy on Rosh Hashanah, and even more, particularly on Yom Kippur, more Yom Kippur. And that concept of these 13 attributes of mercy, through them, they envelop us, so to speak. They envelop the Jewish people as a whole, and Na'asa k'v'yachol, chitat brit v'itkashrut, is made the making of the covenant and the bond, la'hakadosh baruch hu im Yisrael, of God the Holy One with the Jewish people. So it's like an enveloping radiance, these 13 attributes of mercy, which envelop the Jewish people together with God. So let's just see if there are any points that anyone would like to add or to comment on at this point.
Can I just make a recommendation? One of my favourites of forum is the Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, Toma Dvorak, and that kind of go. It's a different, it's the 13 attributes from Mika rather than Shemos, but that goes through all them, and it's just like such an amazing sefer, especially good to study at this time of year, coming up to Rosh Hashanah as well.
Thank you, Tia Lavina. That's a very good point. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, we say at Tashlich, the custom is, which we do on Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah this year, because it's Sunday. It's we don't do it on Shabbat. The first day will be Shabbat. So the second day we go to a river or a lake, a pool, and say Tashlich, and there we say the 13 attributes from Mika, which and sort of it includes the 13 attributes from the book of Exodus as well. But thank you for making that point. Any other comment? Okay. So let's come back to it. Right, so now we are on Ot Bet, so that's paragraph 2.
Can now,
yes?
No, just on the point of cutting something in half and going through it, it is the Maima of the previous Rebbe. He claims that that's to indicate that we're not two entities that are uniting together, but we each become a half of something, that we become one only when we are collectively together.
Right, thank you. Yeah, that's very meaningful. Right, now the Rebbe is going to link what he said so far to another discourse. That up to now, he's been talking about a discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. He's now the first Chabad Rebbe. He's now going to speak about a discourse or take some points from a discourse by the third Lubavitch Rebbe called the Tzemach Tzedek. The Yesh Lakash is there. Now, this could be connected with another discourse which begins in the same way, you are standing, in the book called Light of Torah, which in 1965 was just being printed. And it says there in that discourse, Shemilat Nitzavim, that the word Nitzavim, Hulashon Nifal, is in the passive. Nifal, in Hebrew, there's the Kal, which is the active tense, and Nifal, which is a passive tense. Shezeu Inyan She Naaseh Al Yedei Acher, something which another person, another force, is doing it. It's not that the person is doing it themselves, something else is making it happen. That's what the letter Nun stands for or expresses, this Nifal quality. Like the difference between the word Kotev, writes, who Kotev, he writes, and Nichtav, who Nichtav, would mean it was written. So Nichtav is it was written. So Shekotev, Hainu Shehu Atzmo Kotev, when it says he writes, it means he himself is writing. V'nichtav, and when you say it is written, Hainu Al Yedei Acher, someone else that we don't see who he is, he's doing the writing. So it is written. V'zeh Gam Achiluk Vein Omed, and that's also the difference between standing, Shehu Mitzad Atzmo, which is from the person themselves are standing, and the word nitzav, which is different, and that means shehu al yedei acher, that he is standing there because someone else is making him stand there. So I'm not quite clear how conventional diktuk would conventional Hebrew grammar would look at this. In Hasidic teachings, there are often interesting insights which are different to ordinary grammatical textbooks, let's say. But in fact, I think it is a nifal.
Is there any kal form of nitzavim? Like yotzvim? There isn't any, is there?
No, but you do have verbs where they only appear in one conjugation.
Yeah.
So I think grammatically this is indeed a nifal, but it doesn't have any. It doesn't have a kal form. It doesn't have an active form. The active form would be omed, as it said previously. He is standing, who omed. He is positioned. Here is nitzav, who nitzav. Umavaya, and it explains in this other discourse by the third Rebbe, shenimshach hakoach al zeh milemaila. How is it that the whole people are standing there? They're getting the power from above. Ukomo shekatuv achakach, as it said in the next verse, which we read, Leman hakim otcha hayom la'am, that God is doing this in order to make you stand today for him as a people. V'hainu she'inyan hakima, which means that the fact that we stand as a people before God, einu mitzad atzmo, it's not because of us, ourselves. Eila na'aseh milamayla, it's something that happens from above. God is making it happen. Hokim otcha, God is making you stand. And what is that? So how is God making us stand in that unified way? How is this taking place? This is the drawing down and the revelation of the 13 attributes of mercy. This is a revelation from above, which does not depend on the situation of the person. The person might be a great tzaddik. They might be an evildoer, unfortunately. But nonetheless, they are still part of the Jewish people, and so therefore they are in this collectivity, and it's the 13 attributes of mercy, which look in a merciful way on everyone, whether he is a sinner, a little sinner, a great sinner, he's still included in the aura of the 13 attributes of mercy. Kamuvan, and then there's another point which indicates this. Kamuvan is there, which we also understand from the fact Shahathalad Yudgimu Midot Harachamim, the beginning of the 13 attributes of mercy, he Hashem Hashem. Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Chanun. Right, so it's two words. Each one is Yudke Vavke, the tetragrammaton. We pronounce them Hashem. Or differently when we're saying the blessing, but we don't read the word as it is, it's too holy. Now, it says in the Talmud, there's a comment by Tosafot. In the Talmud, you've got the passage from the Talmud, and then Rashi's commentary, and then there's an additional commentary called Tosafot, which means additions. And they are the students of Rashi, and they read Rashi, and they often comment and add or criticize what Rashi says. And the Tosafot on this page comments on the word Hashem Hashem, the fact that the word, the tetragrammaton, is repeated twice. And it explains, Echad Kodem Sheyechta, there's the tetragrammaton before we sin, the Echad La'acha Sheyechta, and there's another tetragrammaton, there's again God's name after we sin. As the Tosafot wrote, taking it, the idea from the Midrash, Vahainu, and that means Shiyudgimu Midot Rachamim, that the 13 attributes of mercy, Hem Gam Lemishchata, they also apply to someone who sinned. Vahainu Lefish Zeh Gilui Milamayla, because this is a revelation from above, She'enu Talui B'Mamado Matzavo Shel Adam, which doesn't depend on the situation of the person. The person could be in a very low level. Nonetheless, this radiance from above is there and has an effect on him. Now, a very important theme in Hasidic thought, Chabad Hasidic thought, is that in the month of Elul, there is the which we are in now, there is the radiance of the 13 attributes of mercy. Then, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah itself, comes the inyan da atem nitzavim ayon kolchem. You are standing all together today on Rosh Hashanah, because in Elul was the 13 attributes of mercy joining everyone together, and therefore when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and we're all together, then that power to be all together, every single person, is coming from God, from this radiance during the month of Elul, of the 13 attributes of mercy. Is there any comment on that? No. Okay. We now come to another meaning of the word nitzav. Umamshech ba'or Torah. Now, this discourse by the third Rebbe continues. Shekol zeh ulefi haperush is all according to the translation. Shenitzavim hu lashon kima v'amida. That nitzavim means standing. Eila shevizeh, but the fact that this standing comes about from above, but it's standing. Ach od yesh perush, but there's another meaning of this word nitzav, which means lashon katsin. It means that it's a officer, Lashon Rosh, the head, an officer, a leader. K'moshe katuv melech ein be'edom. There's a verse which says at that time there was no king for the Edomians. Nitzav melech, there was a certain kind of prince or officer who was the king. So it's someone who is high enough to be a king, but he's not actually called a king, he's called Nitzav. And then there's another verse, Nitziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz, the leader who is in the earth, in the world. V'u'al derech ma shekatuv, and now this relates to another theme, a wonderful theme in the Torah. Most people are probably familiar with it, the idea that Jacob wrestled with the angel, and the angel could not get away from Jacob. And the angel said, please let me go. And Jacob said, only if you bless me. And the angel said, your name won't be Jacob anymore, it'll be Israel. Now the Rebbe is taking these two terms for the Jewish, for the individual Jew or for the Jewish people as a whole, Jacob and Israel, as the word Israel relates to this leader concept, Netziv meaning leader. Well, derech mashe katuv, and this is similar to the idea, ki im Yisrael yeshemecha, the angel says to Jacob, your name will be Israel. Ki sarita im Elokim b'manashim batuchal, because you've struggled with divine forces like the angel and with people like he had to struggle with Laban and with his brother Esau, batuchal, and you have conquered, you have been successful. That means that Jacob has become the prince and the controller, the boss of the name Elohim, of this divine name, which is a name representing concealment. The word Elohim represents contraction, hiding, concealment of the face. In order so that by God hiding his transcendent and spiritual face, so to speak, what's revealed, this physical world and its pleasures. Some of the pleasures are permitted, some of them are not permitted, some of them are disgusting, whatever. But that all comes about through the concealment of the divine. And the person is a controller of this aspect, because the divine soul has already slipped away from the unclean garments that it was in. If we imagine that transgression is a garment which making the garment unclean in some way, making it dirty, making it filthy, and the person wants to get away from this garment, and so they can either slip away from it, or they can cleanse the garment, they can transform the garment, and the darkness of negativity is changed to light. And why is that? Because of the desire, the will of the divine soul. Because it's the divine soul which is in charge inside the person. Whereas if we take this Jacob, so Jacob is Yud and Akev. The Yud and the word Akev, which means heel. You see the two parts of the word Jacob, Yud and Akev. And so, one second. And so, this yud and the heel means sha'adayin ha'nefesh elokit, that the divine soul still yoredet, goes down ba'akev in the heel lehitlavesh b'levushei olam hazeh, to be enclosed in the garments of this world. So the divine soul is there, trapped in a sense in the garments of this world. But it struggles with it and it manages to quell it. But it is not yet a leader who has transformed that negative surroundings. Okay, so let's stop sharing and let's see if there are any comments. Has anyone got any comment to make? Okay, I thought someone wanted to comment.
Rebbe Tally, Jeffrey.
Yes.
Good evening.
So
just by abstaining, that wouldn't satisfy the aspect. You would have to do something more profound.
Well, it depends what it is, Jeffrey. I mean, very often abstaining is just the right thing to do.
Right. Okay.
All you right. know, that's, you know, there are lots of things that people get into in this world, and the ideal is not to have anything to do with it. You just abstain.
To, yes.
Yeah.
But to cleanse the previous... Apart
well, there, yeah. You know, that's, you know, if you take the ultimate of that is Yom Kippur itself. We are going through things we might have done in the year and our hate.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, so line 19. On this page, Achein b'Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, Nehemiah, it says, "Atem nitzavim ayom." You will be made to stand here. No, wait a minute. Here we're talking about it as leaders. You are leaders here. Shekol nishmot Yisrael, all the Jewish souls, yuchlu la'agir liyot b'fchinat nitzavim. They're all able to be leaders, powerful figures. Dahainu b'fchinat tzaru moshel al nefesh abahamit v'aguf. We are all able to control the animal soul and the body. Yisrael, like terming the Jew Yisrael, Israel, instead of Jacob. V'hainu, yes, you see that the if we are Israel instead of Jacob, then we're in control. V'hainu the feature of Rosh Hashanah, because on Rosh Hashanah mi'irahe araya yonah, there's a supernal gleam of holiness which shines. And your name odd, very exalted. Much higher than the radiance which shines throughout the year. So there's spiritual radiance all the time, but the radiance which is on Rosh Hashanah is much more profound. Okay. Any comment there by anyone? That extra bit that we looked at? Okay. Section Gimel, section 3. Umamshich Bakatub, and the verse continues to say, Leman hakim otcha yom lo la'am. That God, in order to set you up today for Him, for God as a people, v'hu yeh lecha l'elokim, and He will be God for you. I knew that means. Shemuchuvan mikol hanav. What's meant by all the above? Who is shebnei Yisrael yiyu befchidat am? That we should be a people of God. We should be God's people. And through that, there's able to be in Yana Malchut Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kingship of God on Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah. As the sages say in the Talmud, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to the Jewish people, Im Ludofanai Malchut, say before me the verses concerning kingship. All this is in the Musaf prayer of Rosh Hashanah, that each person is supposed to pray. Then it's repeated by the Chazan. say before me the verses about kingship on Rosh Hashanah. Kadei shetamlichuni aleichem, so that you will make me king over you. See, there are three sets of verses. There are verses about kingship, verses about God remembering the Jewish people, and the verses about the shofar, the blowing of the shofar. So here we're saying, remember me, say before me verses about kingship so that you make me king over you. Ki ein melech v'lo am, because you can't have a king without a people. A king can't be just a lone factor without any people around that he can call himself a king. So he needs a people, and we are God's people. And once God has become the king of the Jewish people, he will be for you God. Then the Jewish people ask, please, rule over the entire universe. Let every existing thing know that you have made it. So in other words, first God is king and God over us, and we then ask that he should be king over everything in the universe. Now all that is about the kingship of God. So then there are 10 verses about kingship in the Rosh Hashanah Musa. And the Musa prayer comes after the reading of the Torah, and if it's there blowing the shofar, the blowing of the shofar. That means for us, it'll be next Sunday, not Monday, Sunday week. And after the idea of this kingship, there has to be the concept of the 10 verses expressing how God remembers us. That your memory, the memory of the Jewish people, should rise before God for goodness. Vahainu, meaning she'inyan ha-malchiyut, that the idea of the kingship, hu hamshachah mibchinat rom amut ha-atzmut, the kingship comes from the very highest, most exalted level of the essence of the divine. Liyot bevchinat rom amut ve'itnasut al-am, so that God will be in a very exalted situation above us, the people, as is explained in a certain Hasidic discourse. Sha'al zeh ne'eman, about this it says, now here's a prayer that we say very often, Adon olam Hashem alach v'terem kol yitzur nivra, master of the universe, who ruled before anything was created. And that means, v'haynu shegam kodem shenitorer b'ratzon, even before God aroused his will, to be achol, so to speak, liot melech al-am, that he should be king over the people, yesh kvar b'chinat harom amut l'hitnasut, there's the exaltation of the divine, shemitzad atzmo, in himself, u'mibchinat zu, and it's from this level, mamshichem, that we draw down the Rosh Hashanah on the new year, that it should be aroused, that God should want to rule over his people. Shall zeh ne'eman, about this it says, the eight, also in the Adon Olam, the eight nasa b'cheftzo kol, at the time when everything is carried out according to his will, azay melech shemonikra, then he is called king. Now this is a lovely thing, we haven't got time at the moment to focus too much on it, but it shows how the Adon Olam prayer, which is a fundamental prayer in the prayer book for many ways in which people go about prayer. So this Adon Olam, which has got various tunes to it as well, this Adon Olam is saying something extremely profound, and it's talking about the whole question of arousing God's kingship so that he's actually settled kingship over us. The Hainu Kamoshinikha Melech Alam, so the way that God is called king over the people, Shemizenit Havu V'Nivru Ha'olamot, and it's because of that, because God is king, that's why all the different worlds came into being. Ushmonikha Alem, and he called his name on them, Ul'achrezet Tzrich Liyot Gam Tzchirat Chatit, that then has to be the individual remembering of God. He remembers the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, and of offering Shemavochim al Zeh B'Shem Malchut, we actually say a blessing, a full blessing on God's remembering the Akedat Yitzchak, the way that Isaac was taken and might have been slaughtered as an offering. In the end, he wasn't. But all this is part of what God is remembering about us, the Jewish people. Through the remembering of the Akedah of Yitzhak, in such a way that we make a blessing of often Shemamborchim al Zeh B'Shem Malka, we make a blessing on that in the Musaf prayer, Shezemora al Vada'ot Ha'inyan, and that indicates the certainty which is in that thing. And now it says in note 35, this is what we found in the transcript, which we've got so far. Now, it might be that they will find and the end of this discourse. One can imagine that it goes on by talking about the shofarot. It's spoken about the kingship verses in the Musaf, and then about the remembering verses. And it might well originally have gone on to speak about the shofar verses, which are another 10 verses, the discourse would conclude that it is through us, something on the lines that it is through us connecting with the divine in these various ways which are being described here. That's in the way in which we bring the world to its full resolution, not only to the signing of a good and a sweet year for you and for me and for everyone, for every Jew around the world and for all other humanity, but also that is a path for the coming of Mashiach and the rebuilding of the temple, and that's really the focus of what our service to God is. So I wish everyone a happy and sweet new year. And
Amen. Thank
and
you.
I hope to see you next Tuesday. We will have another discourse, hopefully. Very happy new year.